Martin, how are you?
Good, thanks. How are you?
Yep, very good.
Excellent. Excellent.
In the Christmas spirit of things?
Yes, yet? I am actually. Yeah, yeah, surprisingly. Good. Yeah, this week, suddenly this weekend came and realised it was Christmas on Friday and I thought, oh, why not? Be in a good mood for a change. How about awesome. You?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, Isabel's getting excited about it all now. She wakes up every morning going, it's Christmas morning. Like, Isabel, no, not yet. Five more sleeps, whatever.
Brilliant.
And like how she's managed not to open a present at the end of the tree. There's just a few there at the moment that friends have brought around for her. She's like, every day, she's like, can I open a present yet?
That's good willpower.
Yeah, so yes.
Has she got an advent calendar?
Yes. She's a couple of days behind on it, actually. But yeah, she's allowed one chocolate every day.
And
she knows all the words to Jingle Bells now.
Oh, brilliant.
So she sings that. It's quite funny because I've been into town already today, actually. And we're going in later for a few beers, aren't we? Yeah. But you know the fun fair that's on at Thornbury Park?
Yeah.
I took Isabel to that. But on the way back, she was singing Jingle Bells on the bus, and she did it like literally all the way home. So it's about 25 minutes. And this poor guy in front of us was trying to read his Kindle.
Oh, no.
And Sophie was sitting kind of opposite him. And she could see him sighing like every time Isabel started Jingle Bells again. I was quite cute. Could not think that's cute, a little 2.5-year-old singing
that
Jingle
cute.
Bells.
That's very cute. Miserable old git.
So yeah, I guess looking forward to it. Yeah, but we're on baby watch as well. So.
Yeah, of course.
4th of January is a due date, so I think Sophie's full term now, so it could happen at any time.
Yeah.
So I've been, when I say baby watch, you know, planning for it and getting ready, everyone would think that means doing up the nursery or getting supplies in. But no, I've been focused on playing as much golf as I can and going out drinking with friends.
that is good planning.
Because I know once the second baby comes along, that's all going to be knocked on the head for at least a few weeks.
Yeah.
At least,
so. That's not bad planning.
And getting
though.
It in.
Get it in before you
especially because, well, for the golf perspective, the weather's been so nice here, hasn't it?
Yeah.
For winter, anyway.
Yeah.
It's been like, well, the past couple of times we've been wearing a t-shirt.
Really?
Walking around. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's been warm.
So it's been a bit wet and damp, isn't it? But it's just been so warm. It's been nice. Yeah. Today's the first real cold day where it's kind of been.
Yeah. It's not that cold, even, to be honest. But it's just miserable, wet.
Yeah.
But anyway.
So, yeah, what have you been up to?
Well.
How's your work? Overload situation.
It's still so last time I was saying I was a bit overwhelmed by it all, and now I'm less so. I've got a bit more of I've got a much better idea of where I need to be, sort of thing, and what I need to be doing. So that's made it easier. It's still busy, but you know, I don't think that's going to change for a good while yet. So so should I launch into updates? So last time I was talking about how the customer number two was going to start testing. So they tested last week, started on the Tuesday. It was supposed to start on the Monday, but obviously I was late, so they went for it on the Tuesday. And it was good. I mean, we got something up and running which was working, and warts and all, there were a few warts on it, but it was doing what they needed to. And I could see when I gave them the link, transactions started to go through, and I could see things happening. So I thought, okay, cool. I'll sit back and wait for the deluge of bugs and things to come in, and then nothing happened. So I thought, well, all right, I'll leave it with them. You know, he said they've got all week with a few people not busy, so they'll put together an email at the end of it. And I didn't hear anything, and so eventually I sent them an email on Thursday, I think it was, saying, you know, look, I can see you've been doing some testing. Have you got any feedback for me yet? And didn't hear anything until the weekend, and it turns out that he did send me feedback on the Tuesday. But his email went to spam, or didn't even go to spam, didn't even get to me.
Oh.
The two emails that didn't even get to me for some reason. So I got the emails on the weekend. And
weren't you supposed to be migrating their email hosting as well?
In the future, exactly.
Well, that's a good reason to do it, I guess.
Yeah. So
you can say your email's not working, that's why we need to migrate it.
Exactly, yeah. So anyway, I got this long list of stuff, which was... So you go through the week thinking everything's rosy, but really knowing that it wasn't, because I was thinking there's no way they can't have found stuff. And there were a few things on there that were a bit tricky, but nothing too bad actually. It's okay. It's just there's a couple of features that need tweaking. So probably it will be okay. Touch wood for the end of January launch that they need.
Yeah.
I think a couple of the things that they want are very specific to them, so I'll have to genericize them for the product, which I think I can do. It's just then convincing them that that is what they wanted, you know, rather than exactly specifically what they needed. It's something that will do what they want. And it's just going to have to do it slightly differently to how they do it now. So I think they'll be okay with it. It's just a case of doing that.
It might give you more work to do now. Have you not got any login built into the application to... Because you say you're kind of sitting there thinking everything's going all right, waiting for an email with bug reports, you're not getting any kind
of... Yeah, none of it's like errors as such. It's things that don't work the way they want them to. Workflow type stuff. Yeah. There were no errors in terms of, you know, things crashing or anything like that. It was just purely, you know, oh, we can't do this, can't do that. When we tried to do this, that didn't happen and all that sort of stuff. So it's just a case of working through it. A lot of it was configuration stuff, things like... I don't know, discounts and stuff like that I hadn't put any in, which I kind of should have realised, but I didn't at the time. I was just so busy trying to get it out. So all I needed to do was configure them, but because I hadn't, they weren't there and they weren't showing up. So that was one of the things they raised. But overall, you know, I think it was a healthy and good thing to do. So now I've got a clear view of what I need to get done before the end of January to make that to work for them. So that'll be good. The thing about January is that customer number one is going to start marketing his next holiday club in January, so they're going to start ramping up again, wanting their stuff sorted out, which should be fine. But of course, we've been making quite a few changes since they last run it, so I'll have to make sure that all that still works. I mean, it's the same thing as the other place, but I just need to make sure, you know. So it's going to be.
You've got two customers you're billing now, then.
No, the first one will start billing when it goes live, end of January.
Right.
So the end of January, there'll be two paying customers. And then I'll have to find the other 98.
Oh, no, that's great, isn't it?
It's good, yeah. I mean, I'm feeling more and more confident about it. The fact that they didn't throw their arms up in the air and say, this is rubbish, this isn't what we needed at all, is a good thing. Mm. Although I have been talking to them throughout, so that shouldn't have happened.
So
that's been really good, yeah.
Fantastic.
How about you? What have you been up to?
Well, you know, to be honest.
Golfing and drinking.
Having said the golfing and drinking thing, that probably is about it. I mean, I think I said last, or perhaps last episode, I was doing some testing around keyword density.
Oh, yeah.
And after a couple of weeks, there wasn't really a definitive result, but I actually looked at it. Well, I was waiting for you to come in. I was down the office with the heating on to warm it up a bit, because I haven't been down here for a little while. And it's actually had some positive results, funnily enough. I say positive, I mean, it's only gone... I tested 15 keywords, putting a few of them on the page a couple more times, which is like SEO 101, isn't it?
Yeah.
But having tried so many different things, I was like, well, let's go back to the basics and see. Yeah. So I thought I'd try this thing out.
What was this on? Which site was this?
VoucherCodes Pro, sorry.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, I thought it was.
And it's had a positive increase on average across the 15 retailers I've tried it on. And I took like a control group of retail, another 15 as well. I didn't touch them, but to see whether their rankings, you know, had naturally gone up or down, to see whether any increase was part of a natural overall increase. And those 15 control have actually gone down, and the 15 that I'd made the changes for have actually gone up. So,
wow.
And across 15 retail, it's only an average increase of one ranking, but it's like the first positive thing about a year and a half, so I'll take it.
If I try packing some more in, you might get another ranking.
Well, yeah, I guess that thing of diminishing returns and getting to the point of keyword stuffing, isn't it? So
you
kind of have to be careful. But I'm going to try it on another set of retailers now.
Yeah.
And see how that goes. And try some synonyms as well.
Good.
Instead of just voucher codes, of promo codes and discount codes. So, but yeah.
That's really good.
Excellent. Trying to think, I had a couple of other things to say, but I can't remember what they are. Yeah. So
good. Well, I've been. The struggle with the amount of work on at the moment is kind of trying to plan all the kids club stuff in alongside the freelancing gig, which has been a struggle. But I'm doing okay, I think. So yeah. I think what I'm really worried about is upsetting the freelance lot, because. Because obviously that's important to do a good job on that and get the money in from that. So I've been working on that quite a bit. It's really sort of just in time working at the moment. So when the developers are coming close to the end of the tasks that they're working on, I quickly have to spec out the next ones and get them on the ball there. And then I know I've got a meeting coming up for the freelance project, so I then have to get onto that and make sure I've done everything I need to for that. And so it's kind of flip-flopping between those things, which isn't the best, and I need to get better at planning it. But I think I've made a step in the right direction in terms of planning, because of now that I've got these results from the testing, I've got some hard sort of tasks that I know we need to do. A couple of things I need to work out exactly how we're going to do it. But once I've done that, I can just say, developers, there you go and do that.
So, yeah.
that'll help out a lot.
Mm. Yeah, excellent. Yeah. So we're going to go and review as it's the end of the year.
Yeah.
When's this episode coming out? After Christmas?
Yeah.
The following Monday.
The Monday after Christmas, right. Yeah. So happy Christmas, everybody.
Yeah, happy Christmas. Hope your Christmas hangovers weren't too bad. Mm. We were going to go over the goals that we kind of set for ourselves at the start of the year.
Yeah. Yeah.
See how they went.
So have we been going a year now?
Well, it's over a year. We started kind of mid-December last year.
We did, didn't we? Yeah. So it's just over a year. Wow.
We should celebrate that, if nothing else.
Well, we'll have a pint for that tonight. Yeah.
So I'll do mine, because mine are going to be quite easy and quite quick.
Go on then.
Well, yours might be two as well. Who knows? So, I hate when I don't even want to go through these because I've done so bad at them.
I feel the same, to be honest. But
we should have had a couple of beers before we started doing this. We probably have more to waffle on about then. So I said I was going to do run streak every day. I think I lasted...
you did a while, didn't you?
I did a while. I would say I did a few months. Maybe I did. Yeah. I don't know. So I gave up on that. Podcast. So this is one I feel we've done quite well on.
Yeah.
Although we changed the rules slightly.
Yeah.
So I think we both had this where we said we were going to do the podcast each week.
We did.
And after having done perhaps 10 weeks, we decided that a weekly episode was a bit too much burden on us, and we probably didn't have enough interesting stuff to say every week. Yeah. So we went to do it every fortnight.
Yeah.
And we've done that somehow, managed to keep that going.
So I think that's good. I mean, foolishly, I think we said 52 episodes. Mm. That was my fault. I think I said that.
Okay.
We shouldn't have said that. We should have said keep going for a year, which we've done.
Yeah. But
anyway, yeah, I think, yeah, just amend that goal.
So I can take that one off. So at least we won out of five. And there was only one time, wasn't there, when I came back from my trip to Dubai. I was trying to cry off on, and you were like, no, come on, Nick, got to do it.
You didn't actually try and cry off. You didn't say, I don't want to do it. We were just sort of a bit shifty with the rearrangements. But we got there. We did it.
Right. So... third one was get Vachko's Pro back up to 2013 revenue. I guess, you know, if anyone's been listening to the podcast throughout the year, kind of tried everything to get that goal to happen. And I guess the difficulty of this one is, well, we're run streak as a goal, you know, that was down to me, and I could make that happen. But with this one, it was kind of, there's like factors out of my control.
Yeah.
And so although we've tried everything to kind of to make that goal happen, it hasn't happened, unfortunately.
Did you have the Google... update, was that before we set these objectives or after?
What, where we were, where we didn't do very well?
Had a negative implement.
That had already happened. It's been like a year and a half since that's happened.
Shit, yeah. That one.
It was a long time. Yeah. So didn't hit that one. I'll say out of my control slightly. So the other one was, I guess, because when we started the podcast, we had our two project ideas, didn't we, that we were going to take forward.
Yeah.
And mine was building golf sites for professional golfers on a kind of productized service thing, which I gave up after a little while. So the other fourth one was grow golf site engine, which I gave up on.
Yeah.
I guess. Well. Like, it's been, I don't know. It's been a weird, really, you know, as part of, you know, perhaps a review for me, it's been an odd year.
Yeah.
As everyone will know, again, if you stuck to listen to this podcast, in terms of, I don't know, it's almost been like the missing year for me, where I don't feel like I've done much or accomplished much, and I've tried so many different projects and different things.
Yeah.
That's
you're in a kind of discovery phase sort of thing, aren't you, of kind of what to do next?
Yeah, I think I've become you know, Bill Gates comes out with his best books of 2015. Yeah. I don't know if you saw the list. I started reading the mindset one. It's all about fixed mindset and growth mindset. And, you know, if I'd go back on, you know, myself in my 20s and early 30s, I was most definitely of a growth mindset and had that kind of attitude to, you know, new learnings and new things like that. But I feel with the whole issue around VoucherCodes Pro and Google penalties and not being able to improve our rankings, although we've been working so hard on it, I've kind of become, myself has changed to more of a fixed mindset. It's, I think I've said this before about learned helplessness and, you know, feeling like you can't make a difference and those kind of things. So I don't know whether that fixed mindset has had a, you know, an effect on the new projects I've tried to start, and then I've given up on them after a week or two, and those kind of things. So definitely, I think, you know, just realizing that myself will perhaps hopefully have a difference going into 2016.
Well, there's always stuff to learn, isn't there? So I don't think you've ever stopped trying to learn stuff. But the problem is that the kind of when you get into a project, you get to a certain point and it then becomes the same as all the other projects. You've got to market it, you've got to do this, you've got to do that, you've got to manage a WordPress site, you've got to, so you know, when you get into that, you're kind of all of a sudden back into the stuff that you know, your fixed mindset sort of thing, where you know how to do it and you're not really learning anything by doing it. You're just doing it. You know, you have, you know, you have to crank the handle, sort of thing. Yeah. So maybe that's kicked into it a bit. But it's funny because when we started, I think you're probably at the start of the of this sort of phase of discovery, we'll call it, with your flip flopping between side projects and things, because you just started that golf side project.
Yeah.
And before then, you hadn't done anything. So yeah, I mean, I think it, you know, you've tried a few different things and you're slowly honing in on what it is you're going
to
do next.
Yeah, I mean, you know, just look back on the highlights of things I have done this year that have been good. In terms of Voucher Codes Pro as well, I will say, you know, it's kind of running and covering its costs at the moment, which is good because we had a bigger team on it at the start of the year and it was running at a monthly loss, which we were funding through the savings of the money we'd made when we were doing well. And now, so it totally runs by itself now. So I, you know, but I get a question perhaps every now and again from people about what to do with this and so on. But in terms of my daily involvement and having to do work on it, unless there's something I want to do, like the keyword density testing, you know, on a day-to-day basis, it runs by itself, which is, that's been a process really of throughout the year of, you know, realizing what the bits and pieces are that I'm doing and either getting someone else to take them on or writing some code to automate it. So that's good in terms of that runs by itself.
That's a really good success.
And it's set up that, you know, we haven't done anything wrong in the eyes of Google, as far as I'm aware, over the past year and a half. So if there are updates that run, we should get a positive impact from them.
Yeah.
So, you know, it should. And if it does start to do better, there's nothing really we'd change in how it runs and who we have running it. So so it should do well. And the other positive really is, I guess at the start of the year, my idea was to do these sites for golf pros and stuff, which I kind of, I guess, gave up on after, say, 3 months or so. But then I started working on Gareth's site, which is doing his site for the pro at the club I'm at. And that's been really good. I've really enjoyed doing it.
Yeah.
I think it's a shame that there's not more golf professionals that are, I'd like to say, as forward-thinking as Gareth in terms of getting someone involved to help them with their site, the social media aspects, doing the newsletter.
Yeah.
Because it is an investment. I think because they charge, say, £50 a lesson. I don't know if I said this last time. They charge £50 a lesson. So if you're charging them £500 a month, they're thinking, well, I've got to do 10 lessons before I even, just to fund that investment, that side of stuff. And so we've had some wins. I mean, Gareth's site is doing well. We built the e-commerce side of it. It started selling products through the e-commerce side, which is really, really good.
Excellent.
So that's kind of inventing new revenue streams for him. So yeah, it would be nice if we could find more people like Gareth.
Yeah.
Because it's an area, obviously, that like working in, but in terms of, you know, positives, that's definitely been a good thing to work on this year.
I mean, worldwide there must be enough people, maybe.
Yeah, I guess it is just
if you got back into it.
I was kind of thinking, this was the thing, I was like a month ago, I was thinking, well, you know, now I've got a case study really, so I could start emailing people out, but I'm kind of like, well, I was emailing so many people at the start of the year and they're all coming back saying they're all right. Will this really make any difference? And perhaps I should just try it, yeah, you know.
Yeah, it's difficult to know, isn't it, really? But I don't know how many you tried, but you've got to try a lot, haven't you, before you get get a decent result.
Yeah.
So I mean, I've got fairly similar objectives, I suppose. I mean, the first one that I can see here was to be earning £2,000 per month on product sales. And that's not happened at all. But that was back, you know, that was the sort of year-long goal, and a shorter-term goal was to have customers for, it was Joined Up Data back then that had started. And as I remember, I'd basically switched from developing it as a product to having it as a service on the website, where I used the bits I'd already developed, and I'd got a customer sort of just at MicroConf, actually. It was when I was at MicroConf Europe in 2014, so just before we started the podcast. So I was all confident, and then I got another couple of customers which I was dealing with as well, and none of those made a profit, but they all paid me, so that's a good thing. But come February, I quickly realised, or I had realised by February, that it wasn't a goer, and that was my objective, really, was to say, work out whether it's going to make money or not by February and shut it down. Yeah. So I suppose I worded that quite well, actually, because it could be a successful objective because I closed it down in February and stopped doing anything with it. So I've left that alone. The £2,000 a month thing has just died on its arse. It didn't really get anywhere with that. I wanted not to be working evenings and weekends, and unfortunately,
in the last podcast,
yes, unfortunately, the past few months have been doing exactly that. But I guess that's, again, you know, as a result of switching from that product to find another product and now actually delivering this product. So yeah, it's a failed objective, so but it's got a reason behind it. It's not just me being a dumbass. I wanted to write on my blog at least once a month. I did it for I think 2 or 3 months, and then that just went by the by. I don't know what it is about that one, because after 3 months I could have still done it. I had the time, but I somehow managed to not do it. Maybe I just don't like writing as much as I thought I might, or maybe I don't think I've got anything to write about. I don't know. I need to think about that maybe, but I've not got time now, so that's something that I failed on. But there's two other objectives I had. One was to run the half marathon, the Reading half marathon, faster than the year before, which I did.
Yep.
By quite a few minutes actually, and then run at least one more half marathon, which I did as well. So probably about, well, I'm going to go for about 45% achieved.
Good.
Which I'm pleased with.
Better than me. I'll buy you the first drinks tonight.
Yay! That's another win. That's another hidden objective you didn't know about. Getting Nick to buy you a drink.
That sounds like I don't buy drinks.
No, I know. You do buy drinks. So yeah, I mean, it's funny this setting objectives thing, setting goals, because it's good to have them to aim to, but as we've just demonstrated, they can quickly go tits up.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering whether maybe it's... I never did this at all. I mean, I looked at these occasionally throughout the year, and I think we even reviewed them a couple of times.
Mm. But, yeah, we started doing it at the end of each month even.
Yeah. But I think you need to review them more often than that, really, and tweak them as well, because if I just stuck with these and looked at them as my, you know, putting them on my wall, I'd been really depressed, you know, having not achieved them.
Mm.
But I didn't take them that seriously, so it didn't impact me that much throughout the year.
Yeah.
So I don't know whether I'm talking myself out of doing any more now, because I'm thinking if I didn't take them that seriously, what's the point in having them? But at least it makes you think about what you're going to work on the year ahead. So that's worthwhile. Have you thought about any goals for next year?
Well, I'm kind of similar to you in terms of, you know, having done this and having only like a 25% success rate. But there are some things I want to do, but I don't really want to set a number to them. So I think I'm going to call them more objectives than goals, because a goal kind of has a like an end point, doesn't it? And you know, when you hit that goal, then what do you want to do?
Yeah.
So
it's that measurable aspect, isn't it, that they talk about with a goal?
Yeah.
You know, it needs to be something you can measure, which I suppose that is a really useful thing to have in there, to be able to measure it. Otherwise, how do you know whether you're achieving it or whether you're doing well or not? But
well, I think my two objectives, you can see there's a similar theme from perhaps this year. So number one is to be fitter and healthier.
Mm.
I certainly need to do that. Need to stop drinking so much alcohol.
After tonight.
Stop eating so much chocolate, and exercise more. So fitter, healthier kind of goes together.
Yeah.
And there's some shortcuts I can take. So we've got a friend, Paul, who we know, who does lots of running. He's got a running machine, hasn't he?
Yeah.
And so I've got a friend that I play golf with as well. He's got a running machine at home. And so I've been hemming and ahhing about whether to get a running machine at home.
Yeah.
Because for me, in terms of exercise, like when I get out there, I enjoy doing it. But I will literally set any obstacle in my way. It's kind of like it will stop me from going for a run. And this is literally from like, have I got some shorts to wear that are clean?
Yeah.
Is it a bit cold outside? Do I know, is it going to rain? So should I wear my, like that indecision in me, we'll just say, fuck it, I can't be bothered.
No, well, too many reasons not to, yeah.
So I'm kind of thinking, you know, if I can get a running machine, then I literally can just send Sophie and Isabel off to school. Well, that's not going to happen anymore in terms of Sophie going to work and stuff. But and then I can literally just jump on a running machine, do 30 minutes, and that's it, done for the day. And so I've gone a small step that way in terms of I bought a turbo trainer for my bike.
Oh, right.
So I don't know what, if you know what they are, they're the things that you kind of plug the back wheel into. So it turns into an exercise bike, basically.
I thought that was like, I assumed that was what it
was. Yeah, and so I've been using that for the past week, and that's been really good. So I'm thinking, actually, I know where you're sitting, you've got views of having the exercise bike set there, actually,
and
perhaps a running machine.
Yeah.
And I'm going to perhaps put the desk that you're sat up behind there. I don't know if I'm going to do that chair, but...
there's plenty of room in here.
So yeah, so then there's no excuse. I can just come down, do 30 minutes run.
Yeah.
And sitting on the bike, I call it an exercise bike for now, but sitting on the exercise bike has been good because I listen to a podcast.
Because
another thing is with cycling, you see people out with their earphones in, don't you? And I think that's stupid doing that, really.
Yeah, it's dangerous. It's bad enough when you're running to do that. But
yeah, so with sitting on an exercise bike, you can watch telly, watch the golf, or listen to podcasts. Well, and so
talking
on.
About Paul, I mean, that's what he was training hard. So he's quite a good quick runner, I'll say. And he was training hard because he wanted to qualify for the Boston Marathon, which means you have to do, I think, two marathons that qualify for it in a certain amount of time. So he was training really hard for that, which is the main reason he was working so hard on it. And he was doing like 10K every morning. But what he'd do is he'd get a video or something on his iPad and stick it on in front of him as he was running. So he'd be running whilst listening to a podcast or watching a video, you know, that he was interested in learning about or something like that. So he'd always have some sort of other stimulation going on, which I think is a brilliant idea. I think if I had that, I don't know whether I'd like running on a running machine. I've never really done it, but yeah, it's a great idea. Anything that can cut out that sort of little negative impact of what am I going to do it? Am I not going to do it? And make you decide not to do it.
Yeah, you also get bypassed the whole issue of the British weather, don't you? And running in the wind,
especially
and cold
this time
and
of year, it gets really cold. Yeah. January time.
Yeah. So that's number one is be fitter.
I saw Andy Bryce as well had a fantastic idea. I saw him. He tweeted his outdoor gym. Did you see it?
No.
He's basically set up right by his office, and I think he's got a garden office as well. Right by it, he's got a sort of pull up bar. And it looked like parallel bars, you know, for doing dips on and stuff. I thought that's a brilliant idea, just right there. So you just walk out, there they are, no excuse. Exactly like you say, it's just right there, so you've got no excuse not to do it.
I was thinking about as well, plugging in the turbo trainer thing to the electricity. So you must be able to generate electricity from it, right? So you can do a bit for the environment at the same time.
Charge your iPhone or power your iPad while you're watching your videos or whatever.
So yeah, goal or objective number one is to be fitter, healthier. And I think it's measurable because I can just measure, I can weigh myself and so on at the start of the year and see how I'm doing. So there will be certainly quantifiable results as to, but I'll know whether I've been out doing more running, whether I'm eating healthier and stuff. Yeah. You know, don't you?
Yeah, you do know, you can feel it.
And I know Sophie's obviously, she said she's keen to get back to exercise and stuff once baby number two comes along. So we'll both have a good incentive to do it.
Yeah.
And so objective number two for me is to find the next project.
But by the end of the year, have something that you're committed to?
I think so. I guess that's when we'll perhaps look back at it and say whether you've done it or not. But I kind of do need to commit to something for the next 5 years that I want to work on.
Yeah.
To really, you know, anything you're going to spend, something to spend an amount of, you need to spend a decent amount of time on something to make progress in it, don't you? For it to be in a, you know, something you can look back on and say you've done it well. So I do need to find that next thing. And we shall see. I kind of I know what it should be, or I know what it could be, which is around the work that we've done, SEO stuff basically, so doing that for other people, I guess.
Yeah,
but like the struggles I've said from the previous thing, you know, I'm kind of not sure whether I feel I've done that and I want to move on to something totally different.
I don't think you should put too much pressure on yourself. I don't know whether Because that sort of putting the pressure on yourself to find the next thing can have a negative impact as well, in that you've got that nagging thing in the back of your head all the time saying, I need to find it. And so you might go down the route further on of something that isn't the thing because you want it to be the thing, you know. It's difficult.
Yeah.
So it's worth bearing that in mind. But
we'll see. Yeah. So that's it. That's all my objectives are for next year.
Well, I've got a few which I'll probably... I have thought about them, but not I haven't sort of had enough free brain space to think about them properly. So hopefully over the Christmas I'll think about them properly. But what they are for now, I'm going to keep the sort of personal ones, the sort of the fitness ones, I suppose, as you want. I want to improve my times on the half marathons again. And I want to run either the same two or two different ones. I'm running the Reading one either way. So either do the Henley marathon, half marathon again, or a different half marathon. But do two half marathons in the year. So that's my sort of personal fitnessy type things. I finally managed a run yesterday, first time in a month.
Right.
Which was fantastic. And then I've got really two other ones, businessy ones. One of them is the same as the one I had last year, which is not to be working evenings and weekends, because it is a killer and it screws everything up. Family life suffers, everything just suffers because of it. You know, it's been a real stress doing all the arrangements for Christmas this year.
Yeah.
Because I haven't had time to do it. And so Sylvana's been doing it all, or I've been helping out when I can, but I've not been happy about it. So it's been a painful experience, which I really hated myself for, but You know, there you go. So I don't want to be doing that next year. And with the Kids Club's app, I'm hoping this isn't going to put the kibosh on it because this is what happened last year with joined up data. But so my number for it to be counted as successful for me, or at least going towards being successful and, successful and something that will, which will help pull me away from doing freelance work, is to have 100 customers. And right. I think it's a bit of a stretch, but I think 100 customers by the end of next year, all there or thereabouts, you know. Mm. If it's 90, then I'll count that as a success. But 100 customers by the end of next year, which I think, you know, I was working it out in my head about how it's going to work, because I've got two at the moment, but I've done no marketing yet. So yeah. Once this one's live at the end of January, then I'll still have two at the end of January, which only gives me 11 months. But I think if I can get up to 10 within the first 3 months of next year, then I'll be able to, probably, hopefully, should be able to increase it, you know, 20 in the next 3 months, 40 in the next 3 months, and then that'll get me towards 100. So yep. I'm hopeful that, I'll be around that number by the end of next year.
Mm.
So that's it. And my goals.
Awesome.
Yeah. Yes.
You happy with how 2015 has gone?
I mean, it's kind of a sum total nothing year, like you're saying, because I started off really positive with joined up data, thinking that was going to go well. I had a few customers for it, and then that turned into not being able to market it, basically. Like I said, I rang around and emailed and did all sorts of, did some ads and did a lot of testing on it to try and get a market. And whilst there were customers coming through, obviously, I had like one a month, I think it was, or one every 2 weeks, something like that. It wasn't enough to sustain it.
Mm.
And there wasn't one sort of industry sector or one type of business that wanted it. It was really disparate. And I say that even to now, because the website's still up there, and the article that I wrote, the Mammoth article, I just haven't got the heart to take it down. And it gets loads of hits, and I get people downloading the free Excel spreadsheets that I did, and that's behind an email. They have to give me their email address. So I get at least one a day, usually three or four a day. But they're all google.com or yahoo.co.uk, or they're all sort of personal email addresses rather right. than business email addresses, which makes me think I made the right decision, because I can't imagine those people paying what I was wanting for it. So you know, it's the right decision, but it was a bit disappointing at the time. And then finding the new product, which I'm working on now, that was a highlight, and it's a highlight getting two customers before having really built anything. But then being stressed out because I'm working so hard on it is not particularly pleasurable.
Yeah,
but it's part of the journey, I think. I think if I get to the point where I've got 10 customers and it's going, and I've got some marketing happening, and things are working without me actually having to pound the millstone, then I think we're all right.
Hmm.
So that'll be hopefully good.
Yep. Awesome.
You said you kind of think it's a bit of a nothing year as well.
Yeah, I guess. But you know, just speaking now about it, I guess it's been fun. I've had some good times, like going to Dubai.
Yeah.
Got the camper van holidays away and that. I guess it's more, there's been more personal wins this year, perhaps rather than business and business wins, but yeah.
I think it has been a good year in terms of that. It's easy to focus on the negatives, isn't it? Mm, and so I don't feel like I'm any further forward than I was last year in terms of having a business that's, you know, sustaining me without having to do freelancing, which was always my aim. But on everything else in life, you know, things are fine. Things are good, and it's been a good year. But yeah you're right. Onwards and upwards.
Right, on that note, let's go down the pub.
Absolutely. Right, so I'll see you in about 10 minutes on the bus to the pub.
Everyone else, see you in 2016, yep. I guess.
Happy Christmas.
Yes. Well, no, it's been Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Cheers.
Cheers. Bye.